Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's Character Month. So glad to be here. My father, John Butcher, in the studio.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Jordan. How you doing, man?
This is my favorite part of the month, man. This is the best podcast that I do.
Oh, cool.
And character is my favorite category, I think. It's not my strongest category, but it's my favorite category.
Yeah, you know, over the years, we've done a lot of thinking about what category is most important.
Uh-huh.
This is something that's come up so many times. And character's always in the running is one of the very most important top couple categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always have to ask what's underneath that category. So if you say health and fitness is the most important category, well, what's underneath it? It's your character.
Mm-hmm.
Love relationship, what is underneath it? It's your character.
Totally.
It's like it comes back to character so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can ask yourself what's underneath character. And then you get into a rabbit
hole.
Another
rabbit hole, exactly.
but you're right, Jordan. This one is a big one. You know what's so interesting about this category for me, Jordan, is that this was the last of the 12 categories that Miss and I kind of discovered as we were, our Lifebook was evolving over years and years and years. The very first version of my Lifebook when I was really young was doing personal development programs, Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, Brian Tracy, the classics,
mm-hmm.
the awesome big guys. And I was taking notes on how I wanted to improve my health and fitness and my intellectual life, what I wanted to study, how I wanted to feel emotionally, doing a little bit of exploration into my spiritual life. Then we get into the relationships and business categories. And our Lifebook evolved over a period of a lot of years. And this was the last category that we really figured out that we needed to put into Lifebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no place else where you could really figure out the kind of person that you wanted to become.
Mm-hmm.
Like how do you cultivate yourself, sculpt yourself into the image of your values? And that's what character's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got that category into our Lifebook, we're like, holy cow, this affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is the foundation of it all.
Right.
And so that it was a big discovery. That was a big, big moment that happened years ago.
Well, I think it's just really fascinating because it's a very abstract category, but it's also it's very defining of any given person. So what I think is so interesting about the character category is when you admire someone in history or you have a mentor or just if you're interested in a person, generally the first thing that you're interested in is what they did, what this person accomplished
mm-hmm.
and how amazing it was, what
yep.
they do. But then the next thing you want to find out is who they are,
mm-hmm.
what their character
right.
traits were, the good ones and the bad
mm-hmm.
ones. That's what makes humans three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And it's what makes them interesting.
And obviously, what you do and who you are intimately tied together.
Exactly.
What you do is how you express who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're absolutely right about that. And this category is a little bit abstract, but you can take it down to earth extremely fast.
That's true.
So if you say to yourself, I want to develop this character trait in my life. That's an abstract concept. I want to be a more compassionate person. I want to be kinder. I want to be more determined. I want to have more self-discipline. That's an abstract concept.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can say, how do I do that? Well, how can I practice it? And then you bring it all the way down to earth.
There's math behind it.
There is absolutely a way that you mm-hmm. can manifest it in physical reality. So you can bring it down to earth very, very quickly. And that's what you need to do. Otherwise, it stays in the realm of abstract thought, which doesn't really do you any good.
Right. Let's move on to questions. Love answering the listener questions. For the character category, we have Nick K writes in, what are some of the ways you train your self-discipline?
Self-discipline. Self-discipline, Jordan, is probably the number one character trait that when people go through Lifebook, they say they want to cultivate in themselves.
Mm.
It's the pimp daddy character trait.
Yeah, totally.
You know, self-discipline is the trait that kind of controls all others.
Yeah.
And so how I cultivate self-discipline in my life is I get clear on what I want to be disciplined about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be disciplined about my health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be disciplined about my work life. I want to be disciplined about my love relationship. And then I literally, well, it's my 12 dot. My 12 dot is the tool that I use
mm-hmm.
to keep track of my stuff. But in populating that 12 dot with the behaviors that I want to practice consistently, that's how I dial in my self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who haven't heard of 12.dot, I imagine the vast majority of you have, but it's just a simple little Excel spreadsheet that I use. My habits that I want to perform on a daily basis are down the left-hand column. The days of the month are along the top. And then I either get a dot next to each habit each day, or I don't get a dot, depending on whether I did it or not. It's binary. On, off, yes, no. I did it. I didn't do it. There's no place to hide. So I'll just read a couple of my habits. I call these my 12 sacred choices because these are the friggin', they seem like little things, but they add up to be the big things. These are the things that control your life. Every day I want to eat clean. If I go to Steak and Shake and load up on a double cheeseburger with a large fry, don't get my dot.
No dot.
I want to drink green, which to me, that means a minimum of 2 green juices or vegetable juices a day, green smoothies or vegetable juices a day. If I do less than that, no dot. I have my workouts on here. I have my meditation or gratitude ritual. Did I review my goals and my life vision today? Did I work on my most important thing, which I always have that defined what that is? Was I a great dad today? Did I delight Missy today? Did I take time to study today? Et cetera. So I don't need to belabor the point. The question was, what are the ways that I train my self-discipline? I train my self-discipline by getting clear on the things I want to be disciplined about, the areas I want to be disciplined in, and then I track my behaviors in those areas. Works like a charm. Yeah. I'll tell you what, when I have a crappy day or a crappy week, I can go back and take a look at exactly why.
Yep.
And when I'm killing it, it's because I'm doing great on these habits. Totally. Every time I have a lousy week, I can look back and see it's because of I didn't do it, what I am supposed to be doing. And if I have a week where I fill in most of my dots, you can be guaranteed it's going to be a good week. It's amazing, the correlation. So there you go.
It's a perfect way to plot your progression in life.
It really is. And you know, this doesn't work for everybody. Interestingly enough, it doesn't work for the girls in our family. They don't like the system.
They
feel confined by it. But the boys love it.
Totally.
Me and Justin, Justin would be a mess without this system. This is a way that we can make sure that he's staying on track. So it's not for everybody, but if it works for you, I highly recommend it.
And speaking on self-discipline for a moment, I like the idea of getting clear on the habits first, because you don't want to just jump in and try to be a more self-disciplined person in life. You don't want to just say, all right, I'm going to practice self-discipline.
It's too broad.
Exactly. I'm going to stop eating bad. And it's too much. It's overwhelm as well if you try to do all of it at once. So start 1, 2, 3 places on your 12 dot, and then suddenly you are, like he said, training yourself.
Well, let me just, if we can go a little bit deeper here, here's where this 12 dot comes from. The 12 dot comes from the fact that Missy and I are so clear on our life vision. We've been through life book 6 times together. You know, we are so clear on the vision of the life that we want to be living. And then we've done the boot camp process another half dozen times. So we've taken a look at that life vision and we've extracted the most important goals that need to be accomplished in order to achieve that. And then we sit down and we define the habits that will be required to achieve those goals. And that's where this 12 dot comes from. So it's not just this made up thing that,
right?
I'm not just randomly choosing these behaviors. I've identified these behaviors are the behaviors that I need to be doing on a daily basis in order to achieve the goals that will lead to the life vision that we want to be living.
Totally.
Right.
It's the next evolution in the life book lifestyle. How deep do you want to go?
That's exactly
and
right.
And I think everything's
connected. Everything from the very top all the way to, there's a golden thread of consciousness connecting the vision for the life you want to be living to the behaviors you need to do in the next 10 minutes.
Totally.
that's a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Next question from Pritiba S. Sorry if I mispronounced your very interesting name there.
I think this is India.
They write, my category of focus is relationships, and the assessment says that the support category is character. I'm single and I would like to be in a relationship. Do you have any tips for which character traits I can focus on to support my love relationship category?
Well, you know, I think that the most important thing that you can do for a love relationship is to be the best person you can possibly be in every way that you, you know, so really it does come down to character. It's interesting, Jordan, I'm in the middle of, I'm almost done finishing the scripts for Lifebook version 2. And we're in the middle of production of Lifebook version 2. And in the love relationship category of the new program, I tell Sandra's story. Sandra is the president of Lifebook.
It's pertinent,
right?
During the time of this recording.
So many Lifebook members know her. She's facilitated more Lifebook sessions than anyone in the world. I want to say 70 Lifebook sessions she's run. And Sandra was single for a long time. She was an executive in her 40s and always wanted the love relationship of her dreams, but was never able to manifest it. In the new Lifebook program, I actually tell her story. She went through Lifebook Ultimate, and Missy and I facilitated that Lifebook Ultimate session. We sat down with her, and we literally helped her create a strategy to manifest the love of her life. And just this last weekend, literally a few days ago, yep. Sandra got married to Bruce. They've been together for 3 years. He is the perfect man for her. They got married in our house, which yep. is so awesome. Facilitated by Missy and me.
That's right. You were the pastor.
The preacher. We got our minister's license just so that we could marry Sandra and Bruce.
That's really cool.
And so Sandra created this incredible strategy that literally is what we identified there was, Sandra, this is a goal like any other goal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it because you're not completely in charge of it. But there's a lot of goals in your life that you're not completely in charge of. Any career goal is going to take the cooperation of others.
Yep.
Any financial goal, any parenting goal, you know, social goal. So many of your goals require the cooperation of others. How is this one any different? And so anyway, I'm not going to be a spoiler here. You guys will have to go through the new version of Lifebook. I am so excited for you to experience this program because it is a different level, I'm telling you. And Sandra's story is in there. So be sure and check that out when we release the program.
Do you want to talk about some of the character traits that she uncovered?
Yeah, you know what? I'll give a high level description. So the first thing that we realized is, Sandra, you're saying that your love relationship is your number one goal. Mm-hmm. But we know how you spend your time.
Right.
And if we look at how you spend your time, the vast majority of your effort and your energy is directed to your career category.
Right.
So if you're serious about this love relationship goal of yours, you're going to have to start acting like it and really start to focus some time there. Mm-hmm. So that was the first shift that she made. She had to muster the courage to work through some emotional resistance that she was experiencing in the category. In the love category, she had to bring a little bit of self-awareness, and admit the fact that she had some lousy premises. Mm. Like, you know, there are no more good men out there. All the good ones are taken.
Right.
Men always disappoint me in my relationships. My relationships never last. Love is unpredictable and it can be dangerous for me if I let my guard down. Mm-hmm. She was able to root out these lousy premises that were really holding her back. And she had the courage. So there's a character trait for you, right? She had the courage to root them out and face those lousy beliefs and replace them with more empowering premises. Like, I remember one of them was, I was born to love and I was born to be loved. Mm-hmm. I believe that there are amazing, trustworthy men out there, and that one of them's looking for me, and one of them is perfect for me. And then she just put a killer strategy in place to start spending time in that category, to go online to the dating sites. It was really cool. She made a date with herself every night after work. She stopped working at 6, which is a big change for her. Mm-hmm. So she didn't spend the rest of her night working. She took a shower, washed the day off of her, poured a nice glass of wine, lit candles, lit incense, put on something sexy, and went online and had a date with you know, just spent some time exploring her love relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to give away the whole story, but the bottom line is, within 6 months, she had met the man of her dreams.
And they just got married. And it was
he was different than she thought he would be, which is interesting. Sandra always thought she would end up with some, you know, business executive, maybe in the personal development world like her. Bruce is a manly man who drives a monster truck and loves to go fit. He's like a foreman of a steel mill. he right? And he treats her like a queen. Mm-hmm. perfect for her.
Totally.
But she would not have guessed that that would be the kind of a man that she would that she would have.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Sandra's key in the love relationship clearly was in the character category.
Right.
Right? Just like it's the key for so many of us, regardless of what our goals are, regardless of what category we most need to focus on, you make some progress in this category, you're going to be improving your entire life.
Totally. And I just to wrap it up and bring it back around, I really do love the idea of it's just like any other goal.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep.
Next question from Chris K. Can you share some of your most important values and how you arrived at them? How does one go about determining their core values?
Great question, Chris. My character values and my character traits that I want to work on change as my situation changes.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, Missy and I are in a very intense time of our lives because after almost 30 years in Illinois, we are moving to Hawaii this year. We're stepping into a brand new life vision. And we're finishing up some massive projects, years-long projects with some of our companies. We're buttoning our stuff down. It's a very intense time right now. So the character traits that are required for me to get through a time like this are going to be discipline. I have got to take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
or I will not make it through.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be sleeping right. I got to be eating right. I got to keep my attitude right. There's no room for sloppiness right mm-hmm. now. Perseverance. I got to keep the legs moving, man. I got to take care of myself and I got to stay focused. I've got to have determination. I've got to have centeredness. There's so much energy flowing through our lives right now that what I'm trying to do is just let that energy flow, try to direct it when I can mm-hmm. and where I can
mm-hmm.
and stay out of the way and let it happen. So that's not always the case with me. This is a unique time and it requires a unique approach to my character. Mm-hmm.
If you had to kind of foreshadow, I guess you could say, how is that going to change when you do step into this new life? Are any of those going to be obviously they're relevant, but you know what I'm saying? How does that shift in your mind?
Well, if things go the way that we're hoping that they go, mm-hmm. it'll be a massive shift
mm-hmm.
because once we get to our new home in Hawaii, we'll be into the end zone on a lot of these major projects. We'll have gotten the ball into mm-hmm. the end zone.
And therefore have almost no need for these character traits
that
used to be paramount.
You know, discipline's always a good one. Determination
yeah,
and centeredness are always good. And they're a part of my personality, no doubt. But Missy and I see our lives shifting. This next chapter is going to be much more philosophical.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a lot more leisure time. It will be less achievement and goal oriented.
Right.
I think I'll be doing a lot more writing. I'll be spending a lot more time with you kids and
mm-hmm.
with the grandkids. I'll be spending a lot more time doing art. And yeah, I believe that there will be a whole new list of character traits appropriate to work on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, the answer to the first part of your question is my values and my character traits can shift depending on where I am in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I use this as a tool. I've got a list of character traits that I almost feel like they're an arsenal that I can pull from and focus on whatever I'm doing at the time.
Do you have a master list?
I do. I have a master list in my life book, which I don't have in front of me. And that speaks to the second part of Chris's question, which is how does one go about determining their core values? What you can do is you can get online and you can Google search list of character traits. And there are up to 100 different character traits that you'll be taking a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can choose the ones that feel appropriate for you to work on. Which ones will move your life forward the most right now? What would the top three be of that list?
Mm-hmm.
And then once you choose them, you can figure out how do I practice these every day? And that's the key to building great character.
I love that.
Yeah.
Next question from Dave L. Do you have a system of checks and balances in place for yourself personally? Being such influential and successful people, you surely experience stress and time constraints and loss and that sort of thing. How do you ensure that you practice what you preach while balancing all categories to maintain your extraordinary life, even when incredibly busy or overwhelmed?
That's a great question. And yes, I do have a very, very clear system that works like a charm, and it's called the VIP system that we present in boot camp. So let me just give the top level. You go through Lifebook and you get crystal clear on the person you want to become and the life you want to live. You emerge from the Lifebook program with a life vision that you're committed to achieving. That's Lifebook.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move into the VIP bootcamp process. You right-size that life vision. You're a little bit hard on yourself. You got to prove to yourself that you can accomplish this, that it's going to make you happy when you do, that you're willing to pay the price. We really kind of put you through the ringer on that and make sure that you're serious about this. Mm-hmm. Once you do get serious about that life vision and get it ready to build, the next thing you do is ask yourself, okay, what are the five most important goals that I got to accomplish in order to be living this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Then you break it down into smaller goals. So we set our goals every quarter. We know exactly, with specificity, every 3 months what the most important things we need to do are to move us toward that life vision.
Mm-hmm.
We get clear on the habits that will most support those goals, and we wake up and we execute every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay attention to our progress and our results, and we adjust if necessary, which is almost always necessary. So at any given time, we know exactly where we're going and exactly how we're going to get there. Interestingly enough, a few months ago, in this sort of intense time of our lives, I was experiencing some pretty big overwhelm. And Missy was noticing it, you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, John, I think that you shouldn't look at your goals every single day because it's overwhelming you. I mean, Jordan, I want to say 14 or 15 big projects all going at the same time
right.
that I was trying to juggle and manage. And so I took her advice and I just literally stopped looking at my goals list for like about a week. I woke up every day and I asked myself, what do I want to do today? And so I sort of got through the week that way. And then as the quarter came to an end, the following week, I said to myself, you know, what I'm going to do this quarter is I'm going to really prioritize what are the five most important things that I need to get done this quarter, and that's going to be it. And so what I did is I identified my top five, and boom, that's it. We are in a massive time of change right now, but I know that this quarter, there are only five things I need to focus on. I got to get my Lifebook programs finished and launched in Talon this summer. I got to get Black Star launched. I got to get, you know, Purity over the goal line. I got to do this. I got to do that. And that's it. That's what I can hold that much in my mind. So, yeah, I've got a really, really good system that served me well. Sometimes I have to modify it depending on where I am in my life. But that system is available to every single person listening to this podcast because they've all been through it. And the one thing I'll say is, you guys, you can't go through Lifebook too many times or through the VIP program too many times.
Right.
Miss and I do it every 2 years. It's just necessary unless you have your own system that really keeps you in the game.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we've got to go through it every 2 years.
Totally.
And every time you go through it, gets better. And
yeah.
Right?
It compounds. And I think it's just, how deep do you want to go?
Yep.
How committed are you to personal development? A lot of people in this community are very committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch, man.
Yep.
Next question from Sandy E. What people have had the greatest influence on your vision for your character and why?
That's a great question. Some people that I've known personally have had a lot of impact on me, and others that I have never known personally, people from history, have had a great impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I got my work ethic and my creativity from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I got my sense of life, my general sense of what is proper to a man and woman on this planet, from the characters in Ayn Rand's books, Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. I got my vision of a successful marriage from Missy's folks. It was the first example of a beautiful relationship between a man and woman that I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I got my value of the character trait of self-esteem, the importance of self-esteem, from Nathaniel Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten a ton of solid character traits from my friends over the years, especially Lifebook friends. You know, traits like the importance of reliability, the importance of responsiveness, things like that. So I'm blessed that I've had a lot of great role models, some, you know, that I've known personally and some that I haven't. I think about, you know, the Stoics, Marcus Aurelius. I think about Carl Sagan, and the work that he did to popularize science. I wasn't a good student.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wouldn't have been for the book Cosmos, I wouldn't have the sense of, you know, reality that I have, the sort of scientific basis for living in the universe and operating successfully here.
Which provides you so much right. in your life.
So just a ton of gratefulness for the amazing role models that I've had. And, you know, it's not easy. Most of us are not just handed a bunch of great role models. You got to go out and look for them.
That's true.
I mean, I sought out Nathaniel Brandon. I was going through a really, really hard time in my life. I was mm-hmm. an emotional wreck. And Miss said, John, that's a self-esteem issue. Why don't we just call this dude? He's the guy. We called him and met him and became incredible friends with him.
Wow.
That's what you got to do. You got to go out there and seek out the role models that you need in your life. So that's a great question, Sandy. Thank you.
Nathaniel comes up a lot on this podcast. I think that we should do a tribute episode.
Oh man,
we'll get you to tell some of your best stories. We'll get some life book members on the line.
That would be so great.
Let's make sure to do that. Okay, fantastic. Next question from Daniela P. Low self-esteem is often holding me back from my full potential. Well, there you go. Do you have any techniques or habits to strengthen your self-esteem?
Well, there is just nobody has done better work in the history of the world on the subject of self-esteem than Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. You can go on nathanielbrandon.com. And if you're a beginner, I would recommend The 6 Pillars of Self-Esteem. That's his classic book that talks about what self-esteem is and where it comes from and what holds it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do an audio program, there's Succeeding Through Inner Strength, which is an incredible program. Then he goes deep into a couple of the pillars of self-esteem. He wrote whole books on living consciously. The Art of Living Consciously is the name of that book.
Mm.
He wrote a book called Taking Responsibility that's an entire book on that pillar of self-esteem. So there's just no better work than Nathaniel's work.
Do you ever revisit it, or do you know it front to back?
I really do. You know, I've got everything that Nathaniel Brandon ever put on audio on my iPod. Matter of fact, me and my sound engineer one year literally digitized. Nathaniel had all these lectures that he did in his 20s in New York on vinyl, on 12-inch vinyl.
Mm.
And we digitized that entire collection, and we organized Nathaniel's entire life work into a library. And I've got that library on my iPod, and it gives me great joy. Every once in a while, I need to spend a little time with Nathaniel.
That's awesome.
You know, even though he's gone now, I'll put on my headphones and I'll go running and spend a half hour with him and just feel so good afterwards.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Next question from Paulo from Brazil. How do you deal with fear? I have a vision of what I want my life to be, but I'm afraid of giving up what I have now to go after something that might be an illusion. Giving up the good, which might not be so good, in search for the great.
Mm. Well, you know, the old adage, good is the enemy of great.
Mm.
When we're just comfortable, mm-hmm. a lot of time that can take away our ambition to want something more. You know, I'll answer the question directly. The best way to deal with fear is to acknowledge it, take a look at it. A lot of times that's enough to make it disappear.
Yep.
What the hell am I afraid of right now?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll ask yourself that question. Sometimes you can feel the fear and just do something anyway. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Sometimes fear just really does have the ability to shut you down, and that is what it is. I've had that a lot in my life before. But for Paulo, I would really ask myself, is it an either or situation? I mean, is it an absolute truth that you have to give up what you have now in order to step into a better future for yourself? Sometimes it might be, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can just put your toe in, take a little, you know, I don't believe in taking unnecessary risks. That's one of the things that's hurt me in my life. I have been a risk taker all my life,
mm-hmm.
and I have, at a lot of times in my life, I have not had enough respect for the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really suffered a lot because of that. So I don't advocate going off and recklessly mm-hmm. charging toward your dreams without any consideration.
But I think the important thing there is you know yourself, you're objective about yourself. So you know your tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So that might help you in that scenario. So maybe Paulo should ask himself, you know, what's my track record here? Do I have a history of this, or am I just being apprehensive
reason? And then if you decide you want to go into a certain area, educate yourself, figure out the landscape, you know, see if you can bring some resources to bear that might increase your chances of success, which will lessen your fear.
Knowledge counters fear, for sure.
Absolutely. So, don't let fear hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
Either figure out a way to release it, or learn more about what you're getting ready to do so you have a little bit less fear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And always remember, good is the enemy of great.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we're comfortable that we get complacent. And as Lifebook members, we're here because we want something more out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So let's let that drive us.
Kim M. writes, I don't spend a lot of time asking myself what's really going on emotionally. My mood is often quite upbeat and I'm a happy person most of the time, but I do have some blocks, and I think it's because I'm not connecting to the emotions that are blocking me. Things like fear of failure, feeling inferior to those who are more financially successful than me. I'm finding it quite hard to get to the heart of what really bothers me inside. What do you do to get to that place?
It's a great question, Kim. And the answer is you need to develop insight. You need to get to know yourself. What you're after is self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the tools that we can use to achieve more self-awareness? Well, meditation is a big one. Quieting your mind and just being with yourself. If you notice a tightness in your body, ask yourself, what's that coming from? You know, bring some self-awareness. Spend some time alone just thinking. Take a walk and think about your life right now. Scan your body for pockets of emotional angst and compassionately ask yourself, what's that all about? You've got to get to know yourself. You're after personal insight. And it can be a fascinating exercise to start to go down that path. You can also educate yourself on what emotions are, where they come from, what the differences between emotions are. And one of the best programs out there to do that is a program called Emotional Genius by Carla McLaren. Emotional Genius. I think it's from Sounds True. I learned so much from that program. Like, she'll talk about the fears. There's like 6 or 7 of them, different kinds of fears that all have different flavors.
Mm.
Or she'll talk about the angers and why they're there. Resentment is different than envy.
Right.
It's different than, you know, and she'll explain exactly what these emotions are and why they come up. Anger usually comes up when your boundaries have been violated in some way. So when you're feeling angry, you can ask yourself, where do I feel violated right now? Who's stomped on my boundaries? What situation is causing me to feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can fine tune what is the exact flavor of this. And a lot of times just having that insight you can start to release. That begins the process of positive change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tools like meditation, quieting your mind, bringing some awareness to your situation. Consciousness is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
In a word,
yeah,
bringing more consciousness to your life and to yourself.
If you're having a hard time hearing something, try silence.
Yeah,
that is often a good way to, but I love the education too.
Both of those things are valuable. I
tend to think that education and character they really boost each other, whether it's learning about great people from history or working on yourself in a manner of, you know, building self-esteem.
Absolutely.
I think that's huge. Final question, Vale from Beijing, all the way from Beijing. He writes, regarding character, how do you really make a virtue come alive? Let's say I want compassion in my life. Which strategy do you suggest to implement to make this happen? Thanks. Sending you a lot of love from the Far East.
Oh,
that's cool.
That's sweet. Thank you, Vale.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our go-to strategy for building character traits into our life is Aristotle's quote, that the way we do that is by turning virtues into habits.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is practice, practice, practice. If you want to build compassion into your life, how can you practice today being more compassionate? What can you do to make that happen? Then you go out there and you do that. If you want to be more courageous, what can you do today to exhibit courage? If you want to be more self-disciplined, what can you do today to express that in your life? Don't miss your workout today. Don't miss your meditation today. Don't miss your gratefulness exercise today.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise discipline. Over time, you become a more disciplined person. So that answer is simple. Practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
Define the character trait. define how you can practice it, and then do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit here and list 100 different ways to become more compassionate. I mean, like one way is this: go online, find somebody that you disagree with, and see if you can bring a little compassion to that situation and see things from their perspective. Mm-hmm. Just walk a mile in their shoes for 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a nice little exercise there in this world where everyone's flaming everybody else.
Totally.
We need more of that particular character trait,
that's
right?
That's true. Yeah. Fantastic questions, guys. That was so much fun as usual. Make sure to follow us on Facebook if you're not already following us on Facebook, Lifebook VIP Podcast. What do we have coming up next month?
Well, let's see. Next month is Spiritual Month. Always a fun one.
Oh, man. We've been doing this VIP podcast for over a year now. It's crazy. Coming back around to spiritual.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I've enjoyed it a lot, Jordan.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you guys for listening. We love it. Send in your questions. You guys know the drill. We are saying thank you so much for listening. Jordan River and John Butcher signing off, saying I'll see you next time on
see
the
everybody.
Lifebook VIP Podcast.
Bye-bye.